Well, good morning, everybody. Another fantastic episode of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. And this is episode 27. And I hope everybody's doing well. It's a beautiful day here on a Tuesday. And I have a very special guest joining us from the Gold Coast. Her name is Shari Ware. Is that how you pronounce your surname?
Yep, that's right.
Awesome. Now, Shari is here. And we're going to be chatting all about 7 mindset hacks to a healthier you. So that's going to be very exciting. And I'm looking forward to getting into all this content. But for everybody who doesn't know Shari, Shari is a lifestyle business coach, international speaker, and best-selling author who helps new weight loss coaches who have no clear plan to get results for their clients to create a profitable online business without feeling pushy and salesy using her fab new body blueprint. Shari's motto after losing 100 kilos herself naturally is, you can change your story one change at a time. Shari is also a qualified personal trainer, hypnotherapist, NLP practitioner, and life coach. She's been featured by That's Life magazine, Take 5, and New Idea, as well as appearing on Today Tonight, the Channel 9 morning show, and Channel 9 News. Shari has also been featured in various Australian and UK online news publications, such as The Telegraph and The Courier Mail. And now she's on Suspended Animation Podcast. I'm very excited about that.
So am I. <I'm on it.
laughs> So Shari, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. Doing awesome today.
Excellent. So I thought, Shari, before we get into some content, which I can't wait to do, I thought maybe let's hand it over to you to tell us a bit more about who you are and, you know, your journey, and I'd love to hear more about that.
So I used to weigh over 180 kilos. So about 10 years ago, I finally found what I call my why power. And I used that to make lifestyle changes one at a time and was able to lose 100 kilos naturally. Now, there's so many things that go in. It's not like I never wanted to lose the weight. I tried many, many times. But it's not just about what you eat and exercising. It's not just about eating less and moving more. There's so much more that goes into it, and it all starts with what's going on in here.
Yep.
And I was finally able to figure that out, was finally able to find the key and unlock it, and I never looked back since. And now I help others to do the same and other coaches to help their people the same way that I was able to do it.
Wow, fantastic, fantastic. And how long did it take you to lose that weight?
So it was over the space of about 3 years. The first year, it took me a whole year to lose 10 kilos, which, I mean, that was great, but I knew I had around about 100 kilos to lose, give or take. And at that rate, that was going to take me 10 years, you do the math. And I was already about 34. And I was like, oh, no. So the next year, I decided I needed to make changes, which I did. Quite a few more changes, not all at once, and was able to lose. My goal that year was to get to double digits on the scale, which meant I needed to release around 60 kilos.
Wow.
I didn't make that, but I made 50.
Wow.
So I was pretty happy with that. And then the next year I lost about another 35. And then at the beginning of the next year, I lost that last 5 to get to the 100 kilos I was trying to get to.
Wow. And during that process, you know, from year 1 to year 2 to year 3, was it your mental shift that you made, or was it some other things that you made?
So it started out with the mental shift. And with the mental shift, I was able to implement the changes that I knew I needed to make. And as I went along my journey, I came across information that I never knew before. It's funny how when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Love that saying. Yep.
Started listening to podcasts even somewhere along that journey, and I've learnt so much from podcasts. So it's definitely a valuable resource. You don't know what you don't know, and that's the issue a lot of times. People think they're doing the right thing, but they may not be doing what's right for them.
Yep, absolutely. Too true. And I mean, Weight loss is a topic that has been around since the beginning of time. Everybody's got a new diet. Every new magazine's got a new diet. You know, we're always finding a new wonder, superfood, you know, a new technique. Why is this? You know, just out of interest, why do we continually struggle with weight?
The beautiful Louise Hay actually said it the best. And she said that physical weight is simply a physical manifestation of a much deeper issue. Right. And that's what it is for so many people. It's not that they're lazy. It's not that they don't want to. Quite often, and for me, so I'm speaking from experience, it was about the reasons why they don't want to release the weight. Mm-hmm. And if those reasons are so big that they overshadow your why. I mean, I had plenty of reasons why I wanted to. They were massive. Yeah. But that why not was so big that it outweighed the why. And that's what it is. People need to get past. It's not just about finding their why. I call it why power. It's also about getting rid of those why nots that they have. Why don't they want to make the changes that they know they need to make?
Yeah. So the whys have to be more powerful than the why nots.
Mm-hmm.
If the why nots are too powerful, it'll impede our journey.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. Fantastic. And what are some examples of why nots?
Okay. So for me, my why not was that I didn't want to have a relationship. Mm-hmm. I had a relationship that was long-term and it ended badly and I was very hurt. Mm-hmm. And so I created, my weight was actually what I call my suit of armor. Mm-hmm. It was my protection from the world. And it was my way without realizing, eventually I realized what I was doing, but in the beginning it was unconscious. Mm-hmm. And that was my way of making myself so unattractive that I never had to even worry about that aspect.
Wow.
And it worked very well.
Wow. Incredible what we do, huh? As human
and it race. Wasn't until that went away that I was able to make the changes I needed to make.
Yeah, yeah. And in your experience with other people, what are some other why nots, just out of interest?
Well, there's lots of why nots. It's always about to make the changes, we have to go through a period of being uncomfortable or in pain sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we don't like pain. We'll do whatever we can to get away from pain. So that's one of the why nots. Is the pain or the perceived pain that you think you're going to go through higher than the pleasure that you're going to get from making those changes? Another one is fear. So many of us, where we're at right now, might not be a nice place, but we're safe, we're comfortable.
Fear of the unknown, fear of what will happen if we do change.
Exactly.
Yeah, fair enough. We all want to stay in our little safe little environment.
Yeah, in our comfort zone.
Wow, okay, fantastic. It's fascinating. I mean, the mental side of things, the brain and the mind controls everything.
Yeah, and even belief. If we believe that we're not deserving,
that's right,
then we'll self-sabotage ourselves every time.
Wow. So let's get into your 7 mindset hacks. I'm dying to know. I mean, obviously the word hack is an interesting one because hacks can be taken favorably, but also, you know, they can be taken as a quick fix or not a long lasting strategy. So what's your take on that?
So my take on a hack is a tip or a trick that's going to make things easier. So I'll start with number one.
Yep.
Focus on adding in rather than taking out.
Okay.
So many of us, you know, we decide, okay, we usually start with nutrition. So we say, oh, we can't eat this and we can't eat that. We take out all the things we love. That's what we focus on. So straight away we're focusing on negative.
Focusing on what we can't have.
What we can't have, exactly. So I say, rather than doing that, how about we start in a nicer place? What can I add in that's going to make me healthier? So, you know, it could be, for me, one of the things was a green smoothie.
Wow, okay.
I can add in a green smoothie every day and that's going to help me help my body in so many ways to get healthier.
Right. Wow, amazing.
Yep.
And it could also, you know, we can talk about non-food add-ons as well. Things like I can add exercise. I can add, you know, having a walk around with some friends around the park. I can having a daily coffee just as a social outlet. I can meditation. Add meditation, yoga. I mean, it's not only the food, it's the lifestyle adds as well.
And it is a mind-body-spirit approach because we're looking at making healthy changes. And those changes, we're looking at making lifelong changes. Sure. So not 12-week changes, not 12-month changes, lifelong changes that we can, things that we can keep doing for the rest of our lives.
True, very true. Awesome. And then what's number two?
Number two is, should we try harder or could we make things easier? So it's a simple mindset shift. It's language. It's all of those things. But instead of saying, oh, I just need to try harder. Well, I mean, it's obviously not working. If you're feeling you need to try harder, it's not working straight away off the bat.
Really?
So how about we look at making things easier? So a way that you could do that is if you just say you're trying to create an exercise habit, and you're not a morning person, but you're trying to create this morning exercise habit. That's going to be really hard.
Yep.
If you're an afternoon person, find a way to incorporate it into your afternoon, even if it's a 10-minute walk around the block.
Yep.
Start out small, work your way up, find an easier way to do it, and it's okay to tell yourself that you're going to find the easier way. It's not a cop-out, because the minute you say, I've got to try harder, it brings a whole lot of feeling, negativity, all of that stuff that's just going to make it hard straight from the outset.
And you'll start building all sorts of excuses as to why you don't want to do it, or today, start tomorrow, all this kind of stuff. Yeah. So I see where this is going. This is basically just tweaking, taking the other side, the positive side of things, and trying to build that into your mindset and strategy rather than focusing on the negative side of things.
Yeah, it's all about perspective.
Yeah, okay, love it. And number three.
Number three is, and this is something I actually learned many, many years ago when I was a retail assistant at Target in my teenage years, early 20s, and it's under promise and over deliver.
Oh, I like this.
So I use this a lot in relation to, well, you can use it in relation to anything, but one of the best examples I can give is to do with exercise. So many people start out and they go, okay, I'm going to exercise 6 times a week for an hour.
Right.
When they're starting from scratch, they're not currently doing any exercise.
It's too much. It's from 0 to 100. It's like, whoa.
Exactly. I say, oh, okay, is that realistic? How about if you were to say, I'm going to start with 3 10-minute walks this week, any time over the week. Just set the bar at a level that you know that you can absolutely do without pushing yourself. So we're under-promising. So say we're talking about 3 10-minute walks. It doesn't mean that you can't do 3 half-an-hour walks. It doesn't mean that you can't do 4 half-an-hour walks. It doesn't mean that you can't do 5 10-minute walks. Mm-hmm. But when you do the minimum, so you do the 3 10-minute walks, you feel really good. You don't feel bad because you didn't complete what you set out to achieve.
Yep.
So straight away you've given yourself that win.
Yep.
If you do more than what you said you were going to do, which quite often, if you set that bar low, you're going to do more. You're going to go for a 10-minute walk and think, oh, I've got another 5 minutes. Let's just keep going for another 5 minutes.
Beautiful, yep.
You feel amazing.
That's right. And it'll spur you on to do 4 next week and 5.
Gives you that momentum to keep building on it, yes.
Gotcha. Okay, love it. I love it. This is basically playing with the mind. I love this. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Number four is having a diet-free zone. Okay. And I'm not the first person to say this. I actually pretty sure I heard it from Tony Robbins. But it's no coincidence that the first 3 letters of diet is die.
Yeah.
Because when you think about how a diet makes you feel, to me, it's about restriction. It's about, it's no fun. Yeah. It's not enjoyable. It's hard.
Yeah.
I'm never on a diet. Diets do not exist in my life. Doesn't mean that I'm not on a healthy nutrition plan. That healthy nutrition plan includes some sometimes foods that I absolutely love and I'm never going to take out of my healthy nutrition plan. I just will have them sometimes as opposed to all the time like I used to have them.
I hear you. Mine are muffins. I must have my muffins every week. Otherwise, everything breaks down.
It's about finding a way to still have what you love, but also have that good health that we also love.
True. Very good. All right. Love it. And that brings us to number five, I think. Is that right?
Yes, number five. And that's all about our language. Language is really important. So some examples that I will give. When I'm doing social media and advertising and all of those things, I use the word lose weight because that's what most people are looking for.
Yep.
But when I work with people, I use the term release weight.
Ooh, I've never heard that one before. Release weight.
What happens when you lose your keys?
You freak out. You say, oh, my God, where are they? I've lost
something.
You want
to find them. You want to find them again. Exactly.
That's right.
We don't want to find that weight again. We don't want to lose it and find it again.
We want to cut it loose and never worry about it again.
Exactly.
I like that.
And it makes you, when you think about things that way, it makes you think, oh, okay, where else am I using language that is not helping me, that is actually hindering me? So some other places is when we say we should do make changes of whatever they are, we're automatically making ourselves wrong.
That's right. Should is already, there's already a layer between, oh yeah, we're not going to do that. We should do that, but.
Yeah. We could.
We could, but.
And next time we could do better.
Yep.
So just that simple shift of language. The other thing is the brain doesn't process negatives. So it's like if I were to say to you right now, don't think of a pink elephant on roller skates.
Right. That's the first thing that you're going to think of.
Yes. So finding a way to talk to yourself that is putting everything in the positive, because we need to help our subconscious. We need to get what we think consciously. What we don't realize is that is going into our subconscious mind.
Yep. Very true.
And if we've got the negative going into our subconscious mind, that's not going to help us at all.
That's true. And as we know, the subconscious mind is extremely powerful.
Very.
Possibly, probably even more powerful than the conscious mind.
It controls everything.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Number six.
Yeah.
We all have choices in life. Everything is a choice. So we could choose to eat healthy or live a healthy lifestyle or make healthy changes, rather than having to. We don't have to do anything.
That's true.
So even just telling yourself, you know, it's like, oh, I can't eat that, or I have to exercise. No, you don't have to. But you can choose to exercise because you know that you're going to get some really good results for your health by choosing to do that.
Gotcha. Love it.
And last but not least, number seven is you're not on or off help. So many times we go, oh, we've fallen off the wagon.
Yeah.
Well, you can't fall off the wagon and get back on again when you're talking about health. And at the end of the day, yes, we're talking about weight loss or weight release, but what is that really getting us? That's getting us a healthier life, a healthier body, a healthier mind, a healthier spirit, healthy in all ways.
Right.
So are you ever on or off health? No, you're just on health.
Yeah, you're just constantly finding ways to make your life healthier.
Yeah, and improving. It doesn't mean that you're never going to make some choices that are probably not the best choices that you can make for yourself. It's about doing those things less, because we love some of those things and we don't want to let them go forever, but it's about having that healthy balance, doing more of the good stuff and less of that other stuff, and we're going to overall be as healthy as we can be and happy, because if we're not happy, that's still not healthy.
Wow. Fantastic. And obviously,
and the other word that comes up with that too, just one last thing, is the we say we cheat. We're cheating on our diet. No, we're not. You can't cheat on your diet.
Yeah.
You might be choosing to have what I call a sometimes food.
Yeah. I like that. A sometimes food.
Yeah. But if you say that you're cheating, that's negative straight away. And how does that make you feel? Does it make you feel good?
No. It feels like you're getting a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
And you're going to get back onto the regime again.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, very, very interesting. And I love how you've basically just tried to play with the subconscious and play with the mind to give you the impetus and the drive to achieve what you want to achieve. And did you come up with these as you went through your journey, or did you develop these after your journey?
So I lost the 100 kilos and then my journey's continued. It started out as a weight loss journey. It turned into a weight release journey, and then it turned into a health journey.
Uh-huh.
Because what I realized was that the way that I released the weight was not healthy. I didn't know any better, and I did what worked for me at the time, but it's not what I advise other people to do.
Right.
There are much better ways, much healthier ways to do it. So all of these things I learnt over, so basically from when I lost my weight and then I continued my health journey, they're all things that I've learnt since then.
Wow, fantastic. And so now you've developed this, or you've developed a system to help other weight coaches and exercise coaches put these 7 hacks into helping their clients.
Yeah, and a lot of other tools and techniques and things like that, but these are 7 of the biggest ones. And especially for somebody to say, okay, I need to make some changes. By just having these concepts straight off the bat, you're gonna be able to make so many more changes one at a time. That's one of the biggest things I do say, is don't try and do too much at once, because you won't be able to keep it up. But it will help you to put more in place in a quicker period of time, and for those changes to stick.
Great. And so how do you actually integrate that into the program for other coaches? I mean, how does it work? Tell us a bit more about, you know, your work in that area.
So everybody ends up making it fit for them, but I basically give them a blueprint of this tool. This is how you start working with somebody. You have this program, you do these things in these weeks, and then if you have different issues, different people have different issues, it's not a one size fits all thing at all. This is how you deal with this issue. This is how you deal with that issue. These are the things that you can do to work with whatever's going on for that person.
Gotcha. And you do this via group seminars, via a book, via internet?
Yeah, over the internet, especially these days. I've been working online for a very long time. I work online with all of my clients and for that particular program, it's in a group setting. So okay. We work through Facebook in a group.
Yep.
Everything, all the trainings delivered through that group, all the questions, answers, all of that, it's all delivered through there.
Wow, fantastic. That's fantastic. And I would love to hear an example or two of, you know, or feedback that you've got from other coaches that said, wow, after I've just started implementing these strategies, my clients have made incredible journeys and incredible results. Have you got anything that you want to share in that area?
I have quite a few. I used to be a personal trainer. Well, I am a personal trainer. I don't train people anymore. But I do have quite a few personal trainers that I have taken through this program. And while they're not specifically weight loss coaches, it really helps personal trainers with the mindset stuff. Right. Because there's a big difference between somebody going to a personal trainer who already has that mindset of wanting to stay fit and healthy, and that's why they're going to a personal trainer, because they're wanting to stay fit and healthy, yep, as opposed to somebody who is on a weight loss journey, especially at, excuse me, at the beginning of their weight release journey, mm-hmm, who doesn't have those, they haven't made all the changes they need to make yet. They're really at the beginning of implementing those changes. And it's one thing for the personal trainer to say, this is what you need to do, just do it. After they work with me, they realize that they're working with the subconscious, and it's not as easy as saying to somebody, this is what you need to do, just do it.
Gotcha.
They realize that they've got to get to the reason why the person is not doing that. Mm-hmm. And these tools and tips and techniques help them to do that.
Gotcha. And that's actually a really interesting point. You obviously went and studied personal training, did a diploma or something.
Yeah. So when I first released my weight, I thought, oh, I'm going to become a personal trainer. For two reasons. First of all, I knew I needed to keep myself in that headspace, in that mindset, yep, and in around people like that. Yep. And the second thing was, that's how I'm going to help people.
Right.
Totally forgetting that that's not where I started. I didn't start with the exercise. I started with what was going on in here.
Mental side of things.
Yes. Gotcha. And then built up to the exercise.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's kind of like, yeah, starting the journey in the middle rather than at the beginning.
Yeah, or really in some cases starting it at the end, because for, yeah, a lot of people, especially for people who don't like exercise, and I'll be honest, exercise is not something I like to do. I actually liken it to paying our taxes. We don't necessarily like to pay our taxes, but if we don't, there are serious ramifications.
I like that.
Exercise is exactly the same.
And so then I imagine that when you study PT, they don't go into the mental side of things at all, or very, very superficially, I'd assume.
Yeah, very superficially.
Right. It's just more about the physiology, the programs, what's the new science.
Exactly.
You know, how to work as a personal trainer, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's the muscle groups. The mindset that's more important.
Yes. And unless you've got the mindset, you might make changes for the short term. Sorry. But you might make changes for the short term, but you won't keep them up lifelong.
Yeah.
And we want to be healthy lifelong. We don't want to be healthy for just 12 weeks or 12 months.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. We want to be healthy for the rest of our lives.
It all boils down to the why, really. It's the, yeah, why. Why are we doing this? That's going to drive all our future decisions, and that's going to help us maintain as well. It's,
yeah,
the why. Yep.
And the why and our beliefs.
Yep, yep. Love it.
Two key elements.
Wow. Very, very interesting, Shari. And so do you work with people all around Australia, all around the world? How does it work?
Well, that's the beauty of being online. You can work with anybody, anywhere. Mm. We're very lucky these days that we have the technology that we have, yeah, because it means that we can reach people and we're not restricted by region.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I think that's fascinating. And I mean, it's everybody's, even me, you know, I go, I have weeks that are great and then weeks where I, you know, fall off the wagon, so to speak, eating all the wrong sometimes foods, or too many of them, and then I get back onto it again. But I enjoy exercising and I enjoy eating well, but to keep motivated forever, that's the tricky part. And
yeah,
you've got to go deeper.
Yes.
It's the why. Yeah,
and that's the thing, by working on the subconscious, by even by realizing that we need to work with the conscious, with the subconscious, by consciously realizing that, that starts the ball rolling.
Yeah.
That's telling the subconscious, oh, hang on. Okay, I know you're there now.
Yeah. And how did hypnotherapy and NLP help you with all that?
Oh, amazing. Because hypnotherapy and NLP works with the subconscious.
Yep.
That's exactly what it works with. And that's where I learnt a lot of what was going on with me and why I was the way I was. It wasn't until I started learning about hypnotherapy and NLP, and that's all mindset. It's all tools and techniques and language that we use that works with the subconscious mind as opposed to the conscious mind.
Yeah.
And I learned that after my journey. But when I did learn that, it was like, oh, my goodness, now I understand. I understand why I was the way I was. I understand why I was able to change that. And now I've got these awesome tools and techniques that can help other people do it.
Fantastic. And that's actually really great, because a lot of people talk about NLP and the benefits of NLP, more about reading others, but NLP can really help us read ourselves.
Oh, and we actually need to be using the tools on ourselves. They're tools and techniques that I use on myself every day. And by doing that, you start to live it, you start to breathe it, and then automatically it ripples out into the world.
Fantastic. So if you were going to give the audience, you know, a couple of tips on how to start their journey, their healthier lifestyle journey, what would you tell them?
I would say, the very first thing is one change at a time.
Yep.
The second thing is focus on habit change rather than behavior change. So many people try to change their behavior, which is too hard. By changing your habits, you make it automatic. And when it's automatic, it's easier.
So start with calling them habits or setting up new habits, and then automatically over time, your behavior will change naturally. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. And starting out small. When I say one change at a time, if you're talking about habits, make them a really small part of the habit. So think about the overall habit that you want to begin and pick the very smallest beginning of that.
Okay.
And work on creating that and then adding to it.
Okay. So for example, what would be an example? Say I, my behavior would be lose 5 kilos. What would be the first small habit part of that?
And what would you identify would be a change that you needed to make to lose the five, to release the five kilos?
Let's say it would be modify your diet and exercise more.
Okay. So if we need to pick one of those things, so say we're going to pick the exercise.
Okay.
So say you decide, okay, I'm going to start moving more. I want to start walking, or I want to start exercising. So the first thing that you would say to yourself is, okay, when am I going to start exercising, morning or afternoon? If it's morning, okay, I'm going to, first thing in the morning when I get up, I'm going to put my exercise gear on.
Gotcha. So it's really kind of like putting that schedule in place, setting your schedule so you know that you're creating that habit and creating a schedule for it.
Yeah.
So you know you're not going to just skip it and say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah. It's like if you want to remember to brush your, if you forget to brush your teeth in the morning, making sure that your toothbrush is in a place where you're going to see it first thing in the morning.
Gotcha.
So it triggers you, okay, I'm going to brush my teeth, even if it's putting it on your bedside table.
Okay. Love it.
If that's what you need to do to remind you to pick up your toothbrush and go and brush your teeth first thing in the morning, then put it on your bedside table.
Yep. I love it. Makes sense. So kind of baby steps, set those habits and set them smaller and build up.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to leave us with?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. They're the biggest things.
They're the biggest things. And just to remember, I suppose, that it's all here.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to know your why.
Yeah. And if you don't know, that's something that you can consciously work on. Consciously thinking about the goal that you want to achieve. Why do you want that? Mm. Working on that, adding to it. That's something that you can, journaling is really helpful. Mm. Actually taking, even if it's just 5 minutes out, to sit down and write down. And I say to people that I work with, have that journal somewhere handy where you can pick it up at any time and add to it when you think of something.
Perfect. Perfect. Wow, Shari. Well, that is fascinating. And I love, like, I didn't know we're going to be getting into so much of the psychology behind it and the mindset behind it, which is all the stuff that I love. You know, because it's the mind is a incredibly powerful tool, and it's so unknown. You know, the potential of the mind is incredible. You know, and
when you're talking about the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, it's like thinking about a ship. You've got a captain and a crew. Mm-hmm. Who do you think runs the ship?
Captain.
Mm. If the crew doesn't want to go where the captain wants to go, what can they do?
Yeah, they can change course.
They can mutiny.
Yep, so the crew runs the ship.
The crew runs the ship.
Right.
The captain is the conscious mind. The crew is the subconscious mind.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. I love so that. If you want to make change, you can consciously want to make change, but you won't if your subconscious doesn't want to.
Love it. That's a beautiful way to end off that discussion. That's so powerful. Well done, Shari. Well, now, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Fab New Body on Facebook. That's my...
Fab New Body, yep.
Yep, or Shari Ware on Facebook.
Okay, great. And your website?
No, I just pretty much use social media these days. Okay. That's where everybody is. LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. I'm on all of those. Great.
Couldn't agree with you more. Everybody's on social, and, you know, you might as well use all those platforms as your website and your web presence. Absolutely.
Yep.
Fantastic. Well, Shari, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Joining us from the lovely Gold Coast. That's been a really fascinating discussion, and I hope all the audience really got a lot out of that. So everybody remember that it's finding your why and working with your subconscious mind, working with the crew instead of the captain. I love that. So for everybody out there, thank you very much. That was another fantastic episode, and we'll see you tomorrow for episode 28. Thanks again, Shari.
Thank you.
Pleasure.